verse number 20. I'm going to go ahead and start quoting the verse. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be all glory in the church by Christ Jesus, throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. I want you to imagine with me, I want you to think about what's going on here. Paul, he's sitting in a Roman prison. He's writing this letter to the church at Ephesus. Paul, he spent 3 years here in this city of Ephesus ministering more than any other city or community that he would visit. Ephesus was the capital city, a very wicked city, a city full of heathen worship, a city full of idolatry, a city with sorcery and much wickedness, but Paul had a great ministry there. Paul, he preached and he cried out against the sin and the idolatry. The Bible tells us in Acts in chapter number 20 and verse number 31, he says this, by the space of 3 years, I ceased not to warn everyone night and day with tears. God used Paul in a great and mighty way as he yielded himself to the God of heaven and pointed people to Jesus. There was a great revival in the city. People began to turn to the gospel. Now, you got to think about, and I won't cover all of this, but specifically, they began to turn from this idolatrous image of Diana. And you'd have to go back in Acts chapter 19, Acts chapter number 20, and study all of that. But they began to turn from that, and people began to take their magic books and their curious arts books, if you go back to Acts in chapter 19, and they began to bring them into the city, and they began to pile them in a pile and burn them. That's the work that God was doing in this city of Ephesus. Now, you may not think that that's very much, but I want you to think about it. If you go back and look at that, those books, they were of value of about 50,000 pieces of silver. Now, think about that. That's 138 years worth of wages. So God was doing a great and mighty work in this area of Ephesus. It's important to note that this happened because of Paul's yieldedness is just being a vessel, if you will, to the almighty hand of God. Acts chapter number 9, if you go back there and look at verse number 6, when Paul was on the road to Damascus and the light shined from heaven and smote him to the ground, and Paul's salvation experience, we say, the first words out of Paul's mouth was this, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? Paul was just a yielded vessel, and God began to tell him, Paul, this is where I need you. Paul, this is what I want you to do. Paul, here's where you can go. Here's somebody that needs Jesus. Paul, this is where I want you. And Paul began to be just a conduit in the hand of an almighty God. He began to allow the Lord to flow through him and to do a mighty work, and God used Paul in a mighty way. And can I stop right there and just say this? It might amaze you. It might amaze me sometimes if we would just be what Paul was to God. Just yield ourselves to God. Just allow God to flow through us and use us in whatever way that he wants to. You know, it might be that God would use you to be the instrument that would see someone saved. It might be that God would use you to be the instrument to make a change in some young person's life. You know what, young person? It might be that God would use you to be the one that would start a fire in your youth department. It might be, sir, that God may use you to make a change in your workplace. It might be that God would allow you to turn a city upside down. Some bus worker, it might be that God would allow you to reach some young preacher or some young preacher's wife or some missionary. I don't know, but if we would yield ourselves to God, I imagine that God would do in us just as he did in the life of Paul. Paul writes this letter to these believers here in Ephesus, and he begins the book, and he begins speaking about the redemption of God. Praise God for the redemption of God. He moves on. He speaks about the redemption that's through grace. He moves on, and he speaks about the redeemed getting along, and then he talks about the Redeemer's offer to the Gentiles. Praise God for that. Amen. I don't see many Jews in here, so you better be thanking God. Before he gets to the end of the chapter 3, he puts on the brakes. my wife. She's coming up to a red light, and she likes to wait and see if the cars are going to move. And if they don't, then I'll hit the brakes instead of slowing down. But he puts on the brakes, and he points out to these Ephesian believers what's really going on. He points out to these Ephesian believers, if I can use this term, the real perspective. He's spoken about redemption and how that is affordable for each one of us. And if we can read his mind, it's almost as if he's thinking, hold on just a minute. We've spoken about redemption, and we've talked about how that it's attainable only through grace, and we've talked about Christians getting along, if you will, and we've talked about how that God's made redemption available to everybody, not just some people. And he says, wait just a minute before we go any further, if we can read his mind. He said, in light of what all we've talked about, what all we've looked at, he says, I don't want you to, if you will, take for granted, or I don't want you to lose sight of the fact that of all of this that's taking place. But he said, hey, I want to point out a few things to you. I want you to think about, and if you're visiting with us, I'm going to go ahead and apologize. You're just going to have to bear with us, because we're just going to revel in what God's done in this last segment of the preaching. We're just going to marvel at how good God's been. And it's already been mentioned, and amen, that God is a good God. He's far better to us than what we deserve. And here we are, this 35th anniversary of the Clearview Baptist Church. And boy, we look back, we look at the videos, and those that have been here for some years, you can remember back to all that God has done, and a lot's taken place. Amen. We look around us, and we saw the video, but I remember we first visited here at Clearview Baptist Church. These walls were still here. There were Sunday school classes that were on these walls here. And I remember I was talking to Brother Lynch the other night and talking to him about how the teenagers used to meet in this little bitty old prayer room here. And we'd cram about 25 teenagers in one of those little bitty old rooms. And don't tell the fire marshal, all right? We crammed about 25 teenagers in there, and it's no denying that God has done a wonderful work here. And as we close out this weekend, listen, I just want to give you three simple points that Paul pointed out, that Paul reminded these believers here in Ephesus. And I'd like to remind you, look back at Ephesians chapter number 3 and verse number 20. I want you to see what he reminded them of. The Bible begins verse number 20. Now unto him, I want you to note, first of all, that Paul pointed out, or he reminded these Ephesian believers of, number one, the provider. The provider, Paul says, now unto him. Paul comes on the heels of all that he's talked about with redemption, with being saved, and being a part of the body of Christ. And you understand, he mentions too, he says, hey guys, listen, I want you to understand some things as he starts out, verse number 20. He starts out saying, now unto him. He says, hey, I want you to recognize, listen, it's not all because of happen chance that you're where you're at today. It's not all because of the luck of the draw, if we can use that term, that you're where you're at today. He said, hey, it's not because of you. It's not because of me. But I want you to understand one thing. Now unto him, he said. He says it's the very God of heaven. It's Jehovah God that has allowed you to be here only because of the God of heaven, not because of anything with me, not because of anything with you. It's not because of your interacting abilities or anything of that nature, but it's because of God. Might have been some there, I want you to think about it. Might have been some there as they would think through what had been done, what had taken place at the church of Ephesus, and in that city there, they may have sat there and they may have thought about, man, you know what, Paul, boy, he's a good guy. Man, Paul's done a lot of good things. Man, I remember before Paul came to this town and the shape that it was in, and he came and he began to preach and he began to do the will of the Lord, and they might look at Paul and say, man, look at him, boy, it's all because of Paul. Look at his fervor, and look at his favor, and man, look at the fire that he's got. And there was no doubt that it would be because of him. And Paul said, no, I want you to be reminded of one thing. Hey, any thing that's taking place, hey, it's because of the God of heaven. Paul said, not now unto him, not unto them. It's not of men, but of God. Can I remind you tonight here at Clearview Baptist Church? Oh, listen, friend. Here at Clearview Baptist Church, listen, what's taking place here at the Clearview Baptist Church over the past 35 years, can I remind you, it's not because of some man. Listen, it's not because of anyone here tonight. Listen, make no mistake about it. God has used men to do the work, but it's been God that's done the work through the men. It's God that's done the work. Paul said, hey, I want you to be reminded about the provider. Can I say this? There have been different men that have passed through this place, the Clearview Baptist Church, in different positions. And you saw a lot of them that stood on the platform tonight, and even others that have stood on the platform the last couple of days. And God's allowed many to flow through and use them as just a vessel. And many that have been faithful to the Word. Many that have been faithful to their call. But can I remind you, listen, it's all because of God. There's been blood and sweat and tears. There have been many that have given their lives to this work. Oh, friend, but listen, let's not forget that it's because of the God of heaven. Now unto Him, Paul said, we seek to celebrate this historic mark for the Clearview Baptist Church. Let us not forget, all of the glory belongs to Jesus. All of the glory belongs to Him. Listen, friend, you heard the song that was just sang, oh, what a Savior, friend. Listen, it's all because of Him. James chapter 1, verse number 17. You may know the verse. Every good gift and every perfect gift cometh from where? Above. Every good gift. Didn't say some. He said every good gift and every perfect gift. It comes from above. He wants to point our minds to the fact that, hey, it's all because of the God of heaven shining His favor upon the Clearview Baptist Church. That Clearview Baptist Church is able to celebrate 35 years. Church, may we not forget that what we're looking at this weekend, these last couple of days, what we're looking at, what we're celebrating is not to take any man and put them on a pedestal. It's not to take any man and say, boy, what a great job they've done. But listen to me, that man must have served through the God of heaven in order to be used. It's because of God. And I say it doesn't matter. There are men here tonight that have their own respective ministries. Men pastors here that have their own respective ministries. But may I say this to you and to all of us, that it doesn't matter whether here or there. It doesn't matter where it is. Listen, friend, lest we be built up with pride, let us remember that it's all because of the God of heaven. Paul wanted to say that. He said, hey, let me remind you. Guess where you came from? And where you came from is not because you're a good person. It's not because you're anything special. And may we be reminded of that. Hey, listen, friend, we're not anything special. Listen, God's just chosen to shine His favor on Clearview Baptist Church. Oh, don't forget it. Listen, it's because of God. All of the glory belongs to Him. Can I say this? Anything that is done of value is only because of the good hand of God. Anything that's done of value, it's only because of God's hand. May we be reminded of the words of the psalmist in Psalm 118 and verse number 23. He said this. He said, this is the Lord's doing. Look around you, friend. Man, listen, this is the Lord's doing. You look up down this property and you look around at all that God has done, and you look at the videos and such, and you hear the testimonies and things that have taken place over the last 35 years. Hey, friend, listen, this is the Lord's doing. It's all because of Him. Paul reminds them, first of all, of the provider. I see he reminded them of the provider, but I want you to notice, second of all, he reminds them of the provision. He reminds them of the provider, but then he reminds them of the provision. Verse number 20, now unto Him that is able to do exceeding abundantly. To do exceeding abundantly. The words there, abundantly. The idea abundantly, it means to go beyond or above. And then he puts in front of that abundantly, exceeding abundantly. He's saying this. He's saying, basically, we could say super abundant. It's like going from good to great. It's like going from a double stuff Oreo to a mega stuff. Some of you are connected now. It says, now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. Can I say to you, I believe that Paul understood that some of those that would be reading that letter that he was writing to the church of Ephesus, that they would remember where they had come from. They would remember that, man, you know what, boy, I was in a life wrapped up in all sorts of wickedness. Man, I was living a life that was worshiping false idols, and I was living a life that was caught up in maybe even some of that evil magic work that we hear about. Some of them would remember that. They would maybe understand that, man, sin had a tight grip on them. And the Lord had done a marvelous work in their life. He did an exceeding abundant work in their life. And Paul would remind them of that. He would say, hey, listen, man, as we've looked back at redemption and we've looked at how God has saved you and how that God has placed you in the church and how that God is maybe using you now, hey, listen, let me remind you unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly. Man, look at what God's done in your life. The provision Paul reminds them of. May I just remind you tonight that the Clearview Baptist Church, listen, not just of the provider, but also of the provision from the provider. In the words of the psalmist, listen, Psalm 98 and verse number 10, the Lord hath done marvelous work. Oh, listen, what you see, what you've heard about, what you've experienced, some of you, listen, it's all because of the provider, the God of heaven. Listen, but don't forget what he's done. Don't forget about the marvelous work that he's done here at Clearview Baptist Church. Hey, listen, friend, he's done an exceeding abundant work. I like that. He's not just done a work. He's not just done an abundant work. Boy, he's done an exceeding abundant work. Oh, he's done an exceeding. You think about some of the stories in the Bible that we've even heard about this week, but an exceeding abundant work. Boy, you think about those disciples as they were out on the sea, and I believe it was Brother Saxton that preached in that passage the other night, and Jesus came and Jesus calmed that storm. That's an exceeding abundant work. You know what? He didn't just get on the, he wasn't just on that boat and just rode through it with them. Listen, man, he calmed that storm. He said, hey, just calm down. Everything's going to be fine. And he calmed the storm. He ceased the rain. He ceased the wind. An exceeding abundant work. And can I say this about the Clearview Baptist Church and the work that God has done here? Listen, though there have been times when some maybe would have thought, man, I don't know if that church is going to make it. Boy, I don't know what the Lord's doing, but man, we may not be able to keep the doors open next week. And some of you that are here tonight, man, you were here during those times. And boy, we thank God for you. Thank you for your steadfastness and staying and standing. And there were times whenever that may have been the mindset. Oh, but listen, God raised up someone to stand in the gap and to make up the hedge. And he's done an exceeding abundant work. Oh, friend, listen, I'm not just talking about a work for a moment or just in one or two folks. Listen, but look around you. He's done a work, a marvelous work. There are those that have been called to preach and young men that have gone to Bible college. And there are marriages that God's mended and he's put homes back together. He's reached into the gutters of sin and put life into men and women and boys and girls. Oh, listen to me. He sent missionaries to the mission field and he sent men and women to Bible college to train for the ministry. He's done an exceeding abundant work, friend. Look around you. Oh, look at what God's done. I could go on and on and on, but I won't for time's sake. Paul reminded them of, number one, the provider. Number Peter reminded them of the provision. And then last of all, I want to speak about this. He reminded them of the preeminence. The provider, the provision, and the preeminence, he says, verse number 20, now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly, and here it is, above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. It's the word preeminent. It carries the definition or the idea of to be eminent above or before others, to be superior. How is it that the Clearview Baptist Church could look back and revel in 35 years? Could look back and see all that God's done, see the lives that have been changed, and the men and women that God's made a difference in their life? How is that? It's as if Paul says here in verse number 20, he says, hey, I want you to see the provider. I want you to see the provision. But, oh, listen to me. He says this. He said, in case you didn't get the point of how great a work he's done a work that no one else could do. Exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. Man, he's done a work greater than you've ever seen, greater than you could ever think, greater than you could ever ask. I mean, he is the preeminent one. The disciples, they asked the question in the Gospels as Jesus calmed the storm. They said this. They said, what manner of man is this? What manner of man is this? And I'd like to answer that question tonight. He is the King of Kings, amen. I believe that's what Paul was trying to point out. He's the preeminent one. He is the King of Kings, and he is the Lord of Lords. He's the Alpha and Omega. He's the beginning and the end. Hey, he's the first and the last. He's the light of the world, the everlasting Father. He is the omnipotent one. He's the great high priest. He's a great shepherd. Hey, there's none like him. There's never been one. There never will be another like him. This is what Paul was saying. Isaiah chapter 45, verse number 5. The Bible says this, I am the Lord, and there is none else. Hey, he's in a class all by himself. He holds the title. Listen, Paul wanted to remind them of the provider and the provision, but he wanted to remind them that, hey, only God can do a work like he's done in their lives, in their town, in their church. And can I remind you, Clearview Baptist Church tonight, it's only God that can do a work like he's done in the Clearview Baptist Church. The life that he's changed, the work that he's done, it's only of God. I say this, a work like that, a work like this, God changing lives like he's done, God putting marriages back together like he has, God seeing young men, young ladies called to the ministry, like we've seen, can I say it, that doesn't count in the name of a Joseph Smith or a Charles Taz Russell or Martin Luther. That doesn't come in the name of a Jack Hiles or a Lee Robertson. Listen, that doesn't come in the name of a Corey Epshill. And I say the God of heaven. The God of heaven, the preeminent one. He's responsible for the work that is done. Only the God of heaven, Paul reminds them. Hey, what this is all about. What you've experienced. The change in your life. All that's taken place, can I say to you, hey, it's because of the provider. He reminded them of the provider. He reminded them of the provision. And then he reminded them of the preeminence. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. I could throw this one in there, but he reminded them of the power, too. According to the power that worketh in us, the Holy Spirit of God. But unto him, church, let's not forget, it's all about him. Oh, listen, we've reveled in those that have come back to this weekend and have been a part of the ministry here and that are doing the work now. Oh, listen, but can I say all of that's in vain if we forget the one who truly has allowed to take place what has taken place. The true perspective Paul would give them. It's the provider. Look at the provision. Look at the preeminence. Let's pray. Father, thank you, Lord, so much for this day. Thank you for your love and your goodness to us, God. And Lord, how you have been so good to the Coosie Baptist Church. God, we don't deserve it. God, none of us deserve salvation, even. But God, you have been so good to us. But God, you've offered us salvation and, God, so much more. Lord, for that, we're grateful. God, I just want us to remember that, God, everything that's taken place is all because of you. Here in this 35th anniversary, my, what a historic mark to this church. God, we are grateful for the pastors that have stood in this place and have proclaimed the Word of God, and those that have served alongside and have, Lord, lifted up the hands of those pastors, and Lord, those charter members even, God, that, Lord, continued the work on, Lord, even during times whenever it was difficult and challenging. God, we're so grateful for that, but God, more than that, we're grateful for your favor on Clearview Baptist Church. Lord, may we never forget that. May we always look to the fact that you're behind all of it. Lord, we thank you. We pray that you would help us, Lord, in our hearts, God, that you would move, that, God, you would help us to be faithful to do what you have us to do, Lord. If you've spoken to our hearts, I pray that we'd move. I pray that, Lord, we wouldn't just pass it by, but, God, we would do what you would have us to do. We'll thank you for it. Mm-hmm. And if your head's bowed,